message.
Legend meaning many, based on Mark chapter 5, verse 1 to verse 20, and focusing on verse 8, my name is legend, for we are many. By way of explanation, let me say that in recent days we have begun a new series of studies in which we consider some common English expressions that we believe came from the Bible. And along the way, some of these expressions have taken on some other meanings. And whether they remain of the same meaning as found in the Bible or have changed in its usage, we want to consider them and then the background in the Bible. And from the passage, we want to draw out lessons for ourselves. Today, we come to the word legend, which means many. And originally, the word legend means a large group of soldiers that form part of an army. It was applied to Roman soldiers of from 4,000 to 6,000 persons. Today, the French foreign legion is well known. It is an elite unit in the French army consisting of foreign volunteers established in 1831. The word legend is commonly used as an adjective to mean many. For example, we would say the users of Chinese herbs in cooking are legend, which means that there are so many users in Chinese herbs when we consider cooking. Jadi kita sekarang sedang mempelajari ungkapan bahasa Inggris yang berasal dari Alkitab. Kita ingin mempelajari nas Alkitab yang menimbulkan ungkapan itu, dan kita ingin mempelajari dari apa yang dipelajari. Jadi dari untuk hari ini kita mempelajari perkataan legion itu dalam bahasa Indonesia. Kita kata legion atau sekumpulan askar yang banyak. Dahulunya ini ialah perkataan yang dipergunakan untuk menunjukkan suatu kumpulan askar yang besar, kurang lebih 4,000 sampai ke 6,000. Dan pada hari ini, di dalam tentera negeri Perancis ada satu kumpulan tindakan khas yang dipanggil French Foreign Legion itu. Tetapi untuk kita pada hari-hari biasa, kita menggunakan perkataan legend ini untuk menunjukkan maksud banyak. Kalau kita menggunakan perkataan ini dalam satu ayat, contohnya penggunaan apa herba-herba Cina dalam masakan, kita kata sebanyak legend itu. Jadi ini timbulnya perkataan legend itu. Now we come to the biblical background. In this passage which we are considering, Jesus was passing through the country of the Gerasenes. There is some dispute as to the exact location of this place, but the most likely location is a town on the eastern shores of the Sea of Galilee. It seems to fit the circumstances described in this passage. Now, this place was occupied by Greek-speaking people who settled there. They were mostly Greeks, although some have intermarried. They were not Jews. They were not Samaritans, at least not pure Jews or Samaritans. Jews and Samaritans would regard pigs as ceremonially unclean. But these Greeks were actually keeping pigs. And in this mountainous region, were many tombs dug out from the mountainside. So this provides the geographical setting for what we learned about in this passage. Pada dalam Nas Alkitab yang kita pelajari ini, pada waktu itu Tuhan Yesus sedang melewati tempat yang dipanggil Gadara itu, sungguh pun ada yang menanyakan sama ada tempat ini benar-benar tempat Gadara ini. Tetapi pada keseluruhannya ini ialah tempat yang paling sesuai, yang cocok dengan apa yang kita pelajari dari Nas Alkitab ini. Tempat ini terletak di bahagian timur lautan Galilee. Dan pada waktu itu di Gadara sana, ada orang-orang Yunani yang tinggal di sana. Mereka bukannya orang Yahudi, mereka juga bukan orang Samaria. Ada yang sudah bercampur dalam pernikahan, tetapi mereka bukan Yahudi atau Samaria yang tulen. Orang Yahudi atau Samaria tidak akan membela babi. Mereka menganggap babi itu sebagai najis. Tetapi bagi orang Yunani itu, membela babi itu tidak ada masalah. Dan di kawasan itu pula, terdapat banyak gua-gua yang sudah dicungkil dari lerengan bukit di sana. Jadi ini menjadi latar belakang untuk apa yang kita pelajari dari Nas Alkitab ini. Now, at that time, there was a man who was demon-possessed. The signs, all the signs of true demon possession, as we learn from the Bible, are found upon him. Firstly, this man was largely irrational, which meant that he could not think clearly most of the time. Then occasionally, he could think clearly. Then, he possessed extraordinary physical strength to the extent that when people handcuffed him and tied his legs with chains, he just burst open the handcuffs and broke the chains to be free. Then thirdly, he was highly sensitive to spiritual things. When the Lord Jesus Christ approached him, he straight away recognized correctly who Jesus Christ was, and he called him, as you can see in verse 7, "What have I to do with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High God?" So he correctly identified who the Lord Jesus Christ was. And demon-possessed people have that high sensitivity towards the spiritual realm. Then, fourthly, the demon-possessed person constantly does physical harm. He's violent towards himself and occasionally towards others. And that is very unusual. We would have thought that a malicious person would be harmful only towards others. But a demon-possessed person often harms himself. And this particular demon-possessed person would often pick up sharp stones and harm his own body. And in another case of demon possession, we know of the person wanting to throw himself into the fire. So that is another peculiarity about people who are demon-possessed. Pada waktu itu, kebetulan ada seorang yang dirasuk roh jahat. Kesemua tanda-tanda kerasukan itu terdapat pada orang ini. Pertama, dia kebiasaannya kurang waras dan tak dapat memikir dengan jelas, dengan betul. Tetapi ada kalanya dia dapat memikir dengan jelas. Kedua, dia mempunyai kekuatan jasmani yang luar biasa. Orang pada masa itu coba mengikat tangan dan kakinya dengan rantai besi. Tetapi dia kuat sehingga dapat memutuskan rantai-rantai itu. Ketiga, seseorang yang dirasuk roh jahat itu sentiasa terlalu sensitif terhadap apa-apa yang berada dalam ruang rohani. Orang ini apabila dia ketemu dengan Tuhan Yesus, terus dapat mengenalinya dan dia menyatakan siapa dia dengan jelas sekali. Seperti apa yang terdapat dalam ayat ke-7. Dia menganggap Yesus anak Tuhan yang maha berkuasa. Dia tahu. Keempat, orang yang dirasuk roh jahat itu sentiasa melukakan, mencederakan diri sendiri. Sungguh pun ada kalanya cuba mencederakan orang lain. Kita heran. Pada kebiasaannya, orang yang jahat hanya cuba mencederakan orang lain. Tetapi kalau dirasuk oleh roh jahat, orang itu selalu saja mencederakan diri sendiri. Jadi bagi orang ini, dia sentiasa mengambil batu yang tajam dan mencederakan tubuhnya sendiri. Dan ada satu kasus lagi yang terdapat dalam Injil-Injil, dalam Alkitab. Orang yang dirasuki roh jahat itu cuba mencederakan diri dengan menghampaskan diri ke dalam api. Okay? Jadi semua tanda-tanda ini terdapat pada orang ini. Nyata orang ini dirasuki roh jahat. So we know that all the signs of demon possession as taught in the Bible are found in this demon-possessed man. This man was truly demon-possessed. Then another thing is that we find his behavior frightening to the people at that place, at that time. He lived among the tombs. He was unable to be tamed. People feared him and therefore tried to tie him down. Probably they feared him doing violence to unsuspecting people passing by. And probably also they could not stand seeing him harming himself. So they have tried to restrain him, but he often broke away from the chains. Then he would be crying and wailing in the most frightening manner at night as well as in the day. In the day, it's already frightening enough. At night, it was even more frightening. And so, this is the situation about the behavior of that man. Kita melihat tingkah laku orang ini. Dia tinggal di kalangan kubur-kubur yang terdapat di sana. Dan dia itu sentiasa melepaskan diri dari bendungan yang orang lain ikat padanya. Tali besi yang rantai besi yang mereka ikat padanya mungkin ialah supaya membendungnya dari mencederakan orang yang melewati sana. Mungkin juga ialah untuk membendungkan dirinya supaya tidak mencederakan diri sendirinya. Tetapi orang itu tak sentiasa dapat melepaskan diri sendirinya. Dan siang dan malam, dia meneriak-neriak, melaung dalam cara yang sungguh mengerikan. Pada waktu siang, sudah pun mengerikan, menakutkan. Apalagi waktu malam, sudah tentu lebih menakutkan. Itu keadaannya orang itu. Sungguh menyedihkan. Sungguh kita rasa kasihan kepadanya. Jadi ini dia orang itu sewaktu dia ketemu dengan Tuhan Yesus. So this man is in such a pitiable state. We feel pity for this man. We can't help but have compassion for him. At that time, he met with the Lord Jesus Christ. And The moment he met the Lord Jesus Christ, he worshipped him, recognizing him as the Son of the Most High God. Certainly, when met with God, we have to fall down in worship. And because he was highly sensitive to the spiritual realm, he recognized the Lordship of Christ and he straightway prostrated himself in worship. At the same time, there was a certain fear and antagonism towards the Lord. So put in another way, the worship was not done willingly out of an adoring heart. There was no reverence in him at all, but he was just forced to do so. He felt that he had to because he was meeting with the Son of God, the Creator of the universe. Jadi sewaktu dia bertemu dengan Tuhan Yesus, dia menyembah Tuhan Yesus dan mengaku bahwa Yesus Kristus ialah anak Tuhan yang maha berkuasa. Oleh kerana dia terlalu sensitif terhadap alam rohani, maka dia tahu siapakah sebenarnya Yesus Kristus. Lalu dia menyembahnya. Tetapi dalam waktu yang sama, hatinya takut kepada Yesus dan melawan Yesus Kristus. Dia tidak menyembahnya dengan hati yang murni, hati yang benar-benar tunduk kepada Yesus. Tidak. Orang ini terpaksa menyembah Yesus Kristus kerana dia mengenali Yesus Kristus sebagai Tuhan yang maha berkuasa yang mencipta segala-galanya. Okay. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ, when faced with this demon-possessed man, commanded the demon to go out of him. Then the demon, the chief demon, the spokesman among the demons in him, began to plead with him, "Please don't send us out into the world with nowhere to go." They wanted to dwell in this man, if not somewhere else. They did not want to be left without nobody to dwell in. Then the Lord Jesus Christ asked him, "What is your name?" And the man said, "My name is Legion, for we are many." Jadi waktu bertemu dengan Yesus Kristus, Yesus Kristus pun menegur roh jahat itu dan menyuruh dia keluar dari orang itu. Roh jahat dalam orang itu pula merayu supaya Yesus jangan menghalau mereka keluar sampailah mereka tidak ada di mana-mana untuk mendiami. Mereka ingin mendiami dalam sesuatu. Sekarang mereka mendiami orang itu. Jadi Yesus pun tanyakan dia lagi, "Siapa namamu?" Roh jahat itu menjawab, "Nama kami ialah Legion, kerana kami ini banyak." Okay. Itu menimbulkan istilah Legion bermaksud banyak. Now, it is in this situation that the expression arose. A situation is Legion, meaning many. So in the example we gave earlier, the users of Chinese herbs in cooking are Legion. Now it is a expressive way, a nice literary way of saying there are many. Okay? So if you are able to write English like that, it carries force across. You convey across the same thing, but in a powerful way and in a attractive way. If you put it like that, the users of Chinese herbs in cooking are Legion. Instead of saying the users of Chinese herbs in cooking are many, it's already good enough, but if you can use the word Legion, it really is powerful and attractive. Jadi, kita apabila menggunakan ungkapan semacam itu, tu, menyebabkan bahasa Inggeris kita itu lebih menarik dan lebih berkesan. Okay. Kita tidak kata penggunaan herba Cina dalam masakan itu banyak sekali. Kita kata legion dalam bahasa Inggeris. Okay. Now, the demons begged the Lord Jesus Christ to allow them to enter the swine being taken care of by somebody there. So the Lord Jesus Christ, for reasons unknown to us, decided to give them permission. Okay, you may go. So the demons came out of the man and entered the swine. And assuming that there is one demon entering one swine, there were 2,000 swine, 2,000 pigs indwelt by the demons. That means at least there were 2,000 demons. And based on the traditional use of the word legion in reference to a Roman army, we would expect 4,000 to 6,000 demons. But here we know that at least 2,000 demons were in that man. So this is to point out how serious was the condition of that man. To be indwelt and be controlled by one demon is bad enough. To be indwelt by 2,000 or more, phew. Now imagine your body is infested with something undesirable. Let us say you have a worm somewhere, and then you pull out that worm, and never is there, and never is there, and there are thousands all over you. Phew, you know, is really not something pleasant at all. And here we are talking about demons, not small creatures like worms, which are bad enough. But here, demons are bodiless spirits. And they just indwell the person. And so this person, no wonder, was so very confused and was living such a miserable life. And I believe it is that we should focus upon, rather than raise ethical questions like, was it right for Jesus Christ to allow the demons to enter the pigs and cause them to be destroyed? You see? Now, it is better to focus on the main issue, namely that this man was in really a pathetic state. He really needed our compassion. So when the pigs all rushed down to the lake and all drowned and died, the word got around, and the person taking care of the pigs just ran and told the owner, told everyone, and all of them came to see what happened. And there in the sea, those pigs were struggling, some were struggling, still alive, perhaps dying, others were just floating there. You know, imagine 2,000 pigs all in a mad state of violence just ran down to the sea to drown themselves. Now, strange behavior indeed. Nobody has ever seen such a thing happening before. Okay? What was their reaction? Fear came to them. Who is this Jesus who could cause such a thing to happen? We would have imagined the owner perhaps would be angry and say, you caused my 2,000 pigs to drown themselves. But then how could he prove it? Did the Lord Jesus take a stick and drive the pigs in? You can't prove that it was the Lord Jesus Christ who forced the pigs into the sea. So they knew that they could not lay a charge against the Lord. But what overcame them was the power of the Lord Jesus Christ in driving out these demons from the man, and in the process destroying the pigs. Now, what can we say? What lessons are there for us? Now, pada waktu itu, roh jahat yang ada, berada dalam orang itu, merayu kepada Yesus Kristus supaya membiarkan mereka memasuki babi-babi yang ada pada waktu itu. Yesus pun mengizinkan roh jahat itu membuat sedemikian. Dan roh jahat ini pun keluar dari orang itu dan memasuki semua babi yang ada tu. Babi ini semua bertindak semacam sudah gila. Mereka semua lari masuk ke dalam lautan itu dan tenggelam. Mati. Lemas, mati lemas di dalam air. Okay. Dan kalau kita anggap setiap ekor babi itu hanya dimasuki oleh satu roh jahat. Kalau ada 2,000 ekor babi, maka ada 2,000 roh jahat yang pada asalnya berada dalam orang yang dirasuki mereka itu. Tetapi menurut kiraan berapa orang askar yang dianggap satu legion itu, pada asalnya ialah 4,000 sampai 6,000. Jadi sekurang-kurangnya 2,000 roh jahat berada dalam orang itu pada asalnya. Dengan lain kata, orang itu dalam keadaan yang sangat tenat sekali. Sangat susah sekali. Kalau dirasuki, didiami oleh satu roh kudus, roh jahat, itu pun sudah cukup teruk. Kalau dirasuki 2,000, mungkin lebih, roh jahat, maka keadaan orang itu sungguh-sungguh teruk. Okay. Itu yang patut kita perhatikan. Orang itu dalam keadaan yang sungguh susah. Kita sepatutnya rasa kasihan kepada orang semacam ini. Janganlah kita tumpukan perhatian kepada soalan-soalan yang remeh-temeh. Sama ada, adakah betul Yesus menjadikan babi-babi itu tenggelam, mati lemas? Kita jangan kira hal ini. Yang penting ialah orang ini dalam keadaan yang sangat susah dan perlu pertolongan. Dan orang yang menjaga babi itu pun lari untuk mencari tuan empunya babi-babi itu. Dan memberitahu segala orang yang berada di sana. Mereka banyak sekali datang melihat keadaan. Dan mereka dapati babi-babi itu yang ada mungkin masih hidup lagi sedang berada dalam air. Kebanyakan babi itu mungkin timbul sudah mati. Okay? Jadi keadaan itu sungguh menakutkan. Dan mereka rasa kagum dan takut kepada Yesus Kristus. Mungkin kamu kata, Tuan babi-babi itu mungkin marah dan menuduh Yesus Kristus. Mengapa menyebabkan babi-babi saya ini semua mati lemas? Tapi di mana buktinya? Adakah Yesus menggunakan kayu untuk menghalau babi ini ke dalam air? Tidak ada. Yang mereka tahu ialah Yesus mempunyai kuasa yang luar biasa. Ini bukan orang biasa. Okay? Apakah yang boleh kita pelajari dari apa yang terjadi pada waktu itu? Now we consider what may be learned from this man and the situation. Now firstly, understand that this man was under bondage to the demons and therefore to Satan himself. We know that bad demons are all under their chief, Satan. The Bible revealed to us that there was one angel created by God who rebelled against God, and in the process, he was thrown down to earth, and he brought along many other angels to follow him. The other angels must have been deceived by this chief angel called Satan. And so all the bad spirits of the world are under the control of Satan. Now this is to bring home the lesson that for as long as we are not indwelt by the Spirit of God and under God's rule, we are actually under bondage to Satan and under Satan's rule. This may be acknowledged freely, or it may be rejected with anger. You may not want to agree that you are under bondage to Satan. But I'm only giving you the teaching of the Bible. We begin from the beginning of the history of mankind. When God first created the first pair of human beings, Adam and Eve, they were commanded to serve God and given freedom to do everything. They were only forbidden not to eat from a particular tree, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But we know the story. Satan came and brought about the fall of Adam by deceiving Eve first and then getting at Adam. Okay? Adam was made the representative head of the human race. Therefore, the fall of Adam was the fall of the whole human race. So when God confronted the devil and then confronted Adam and Eve, he warned that from now on, the seed of the woman, the descendants of the woman, will be at enmity with the seed or the descendants of the devil. And this is a reference not to bad spirits, but rather to people who are under the control of Satan. Which means that from the human race, there will be those who are submitted to God, who are obedient to Him, who worship Him. There are others who are controlled by the devil. They will be against God, and they are constantly against those who believe and submit themselves to God. Okay? There is always a godly line and an ungodly line. And down the centuries, God's plan for the Savior to come through the line of the woman who is godly was fulfilled in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ came, born from the house of David, and He is actually the seed, that particular seed promised, who would save His people from their sins. And of course, Satan is extremely angry that he is unable to stop God from bringing the Savior to the world. So he turns his attention to others. He along the way tried to attack the Christians, tried to prevent the spread of the gospel to other people. Now, if Satan were to openly reveal himself and say, "I am Satan, I now want to control you." Now, not everybody would be willingly submitting themselves to Satan. Satan is more powerful and more subtle than you realize. He appears in different guises. Some people willingly submit their lives to Satan and they invite evil spirits into their lives. And they are full of spiritist activities. They involve themselves in black magic and things like that. But others are not. They think they are free from evil. They do not want to have anything to do with God, to do with Jesus Christ, to do with the Christians, or to do with the teaching of the Bible. They keep clear of God and everything connected with God. But they also try to keep clear of other spirits and other activities connected with spirits. But without realizing it, Satan is everywhere in the guise of even what appears to be innocent, such as atheism and false teaching and philosophies, false sciences. And when you are controlled by such beliefs, you are in effect under the control of Satan. So any person who do not submit themselves to God, who have an aversion, a dislike for the truth, who turn away from the gospel, who turn away from Christ, are actually under the control of the devil. That is why when the Lord Jesus Christ confronted the Jews who wanted to kill him, he told them, you are the children of the devil. Okay? They claim, "But we are Jews, we were descended from Abraham." But the Lord Jesus Christ pointed out that if they were truly the children of Abraham, they would have believed in him. But no, they were like their father, the devil. They were hating the truth and wanting to distance themselves from the truth And the devil was a liar from the beginning and a murderer from the beginning. He's the deceiver. See, he's the Antichrist. So you see now that this is a truth taught in the Bible. Jadi apakah yang boleh kita pelajari dari peristiwa ini? Kita tahu orang yang dirasuki roh jahat itu sebenarnya tidak ada kebebasan. Dia itu di bawah kuasa roh jahat. Tetapi dia dibebaskan dan dia percaya kepada Yesus. Ini sebenarnya menunjukkan bahawa kita semua manusia di bawah kuasa roh jahat. Di bawah kuasa iblis, setan. Sehinggalah kita, sampailah waktu kita dibebaskan oleh Injil yang kita dengar, oleh kuasa Yesus, oleh Roh Kudus yang mendiami kita. Kalau tak didiami oleh Roh Kudus, maka kamu sebenarnya di bawah kuasa iblis. Ini bermula dari Adam dan Hawa. Adam itu memberontak dan tidak menaati perintah Tuhan. Sampai dari waktu itu, sudah ada dua aliran keturunan Adam. Satu aliran ialah mereka yang tunduk kepada Tuhan, menyembahnya, taat kepadanya. Ada satu aliran lagi yang menjadi musuh kepada semua yang percaya kepada Tuhan. Mereka ini cuba menentang kebenaran dan cuba menjauhi diri mereka dari Tuhan. Okay? Sampailah waktu di mana Yesus Kristus dilahirkan ke dalam dunia ini. Dia menjadi juru selamat kepada orang-orang yang berdosa. Maka syaitan sekarang cuba menentang orang Kristen dan apa-apa yang mengenai Yesus Kristus. Itulah sebabnya Yesus Kristus apabila dia menentang orang-orang Yahudi yang tidak menerimanya, berkata kepada mereka, kamu ini anak iblis, anak setan. Kata orang Yahudi, bapa kami ialah Abraham, mana boleh kata kami iblis. Tapi Yesus kata, kalau kamu benar-benar keturunan Abraham, kamu akan percaya kepada aku. Ha? Tetapi kamu ialah anak kepada iblis yang pada mula-mula, dari mula-mula ialah pembohong dan pembunuh. Okay? So, that is one truth that is serious that we must learn. Then, the second truth that we learn is that the Lord Jesus Christ regards evil spirit as the opposite of what is true and what is clean. And the swines were, according to the teaching of the Old Testament, unclean. So for the unclean spirit to enter the swine was only appropriate. And when they destroyed themselves, it is only to show what they deserve. They are unclean. They are only bent on destruction. And therefore, by the power of the Lord, they will one day be destroyed. The Lord will appear to punish whatever that has to do with evil. And so you see now that if you are not indwelt by the Holy Spirit, you are under the power of evil. And when you are under the power of Satan, you are actually unclean in the sight of God. Anything that you do cannot be pure, cannot be good, cannot be acceptable to God. We are unclean. We need to be made clean. That is another lesson that we must learn from this passage. Pelajaran kedua ialah, kalau kita di bawah kuasa syaitan atau apa-apa roh jahat, kita sebenarnya adalah najis. Kita ini tidak kudus. Itulah sebabnya Yesus Kristus membiarkan roh jahat itu memasuki babi-babi itu. Dari ajaran Perjanjian Lama, babi itu ialah binatang yang najis, yang dianggap tidak bersih. Jadi, roh jahat tidak bersih boleh memasuki babi yang tak bersih dan mereka ini memusnahkan diri sendiri. Suatu hari nanti Yesus Kristus akan memusnahkan semua kuasa-kuasa gelap, semua roh jahat, syaitan pun akan dimusnahkannya. Okay? Jadi kalaulah kita di bawah kuasa, bukan di bawah kuasa Roh Kudus, maka kita di bawah kuasa syaitan. Dengan lain kata, kita ini najis, kita tidak bersih, tidak suci dari pandangan Tuhan. The third lesson we must learn is this, that the Lord Jesus Christ alone have the power to liberate us from the power of darkness, from the power of bad spirits, from the power of Satan. He is able to rescue us so that we will be well, so that we will be accepted by Him, so that we will be what we ought to be as God's people. This man became rational and he wanted to follow Jesus Christ, you see. But Jesus Christ told him, no, I have work for you to do. You go and tell your friends what great things the Lord has done for you. This man was willing to do so. Okay, if you have assigned me a job to do, I will do it willingly. And he went and told all his friends, and not only his friends, but he went to the Decapolis, which is a belt, a whole region on the east side of the River Jordan, consisting of 10 cities. He went there and proclaimed everywhere about the Lord Jesus Christ who delivered him. He linked the Lord, or God, with Jesus Christ. You note very carefully what he says there in this verse 19 and verse 20. In verse 20 we are told, and he departed and began to proclaim in Decapolis all that Jesus had done for him, and all marvel, which means that he clearly associated Jesus with the Lord, with God. Okay? So that is the effect. If you want to be well spiritually, to be accepted by God, to be made clean, and to be useful in God's service, you have to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. He alone can make you clean, because He came to this world for that purpose, to die on the cross of Calvary, to pay for the sins of all those who believe in Him. So by coming to Him, you may have forgiveness of your sins, you may have cleansing for your sins, and you will be accepted by God as righteous, and God will fill you with His Spirit, and you will be empowered to serve Him. Jadi pelajaran ketiga ialah, kalau kita ingin dibebaskan dari kuasa roh jahat, kita perlu datang ke Yesus Kristus. Lihat orang yang dirasuki roh-roh jahat itu. Bila dia percaya kepada Yesus, Yesus dia dibebaskan. Tidak ada roh jahat yang boleh mengacau dia lagi. Tetapi sekarang dia ingin mengikuti Yesus. Tetapi Yesus kata kepadanya, tidak boleh, aku ada kerja untukmu. Pergi memberitahu teman-temanmu, kawan-kawanmu, apa yang Tuhan sudah buat untukmu. Orang ini dengan hati yang rela pergi untuk menceritakan kesemua ini kepada semua rakan-rakannya. Nah, bukan itu saja, dia pergi ke kawasan yang dipanggil Decapolis itu, iaitu bahagian sebelah timur Sungai Yordan. Ada 10 buah kota. 10 buah kota itu di kawasan itu disebut Decapolis. Dia menceritakan hal ini. Dan dari ayat terakhir itu, ayat ke-20 itu, nyata orang yang sembuh itu sudah dibebaskan dari roh jahat itu. Sekarang sudah percaya kepada Yesus. Nyata dia mengerti bahwa Yesuslah Tuhan. Okay. Orang lain yang mendengar, semua mendengar bahwa Yesuslah Tuhan yang membebaskannya, memberi dia kesembuhan dari kuasa roh jahat dan memberi dia harapan dan memberi dia kerja untuk Tuhan. Okay. Now, in closing, we have learned three important lessons that you must see that you are unclean. You need the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that unless you come to Him, you will not be free. You will not be able to live a wholesome life, acceptable to the Lord. You are unable to serve Him. Okay? Now what remains to be said is this,
Look at the response of the people at that place. Instead of welcoming the Lord Jesus Christ, seeing that he is an unusual person, seeing that he has power over bad spirits, seeing that he can deliver even a person indwelt by so many bad spirits, they should rather welcome him and say, Lord, please stay with us. We need you. We know who you are, that you are. You must be the Son of God. You must be a prophet from God. You must be somebody from God to drive away this bad spirit. They should have found out more about Jesus Christ. They should then come to trust in Christ. But what was their reaction? Go away, please. You know, they didn't want the Lord Jesus Christ. They want to distance themselves from him. Their reaction was so different from that of the man who was healed, who was delivered from the evil spirits. My question to you is, what is your reaction to this story? Okay? Are you like those many people who did not want Jesus? Or are you like that man who was healed and who now happily submitted himself to Jesus and who wants to serve the Lord Jesus? Now, which reaction do you have? See, the reply of the man when he was possessed by the demons was, my name is Legion, for we are many. See, but now he's a freed man, and he's one of many such freed men who down the centuries and up to today believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and was freed and became a servant of God, a child of God. So we can say the number of those who have been saved through faith in Jesus Christ is Legion. Okay, so why don't you then make up your mind to be on the side of those many who have believed in the Lord Jesus Christ? Why don't you be one of the many, such that we can say the number of Christians in the world is Legion? Jadi, akhir kata, kita ingin menanyakan kamu, di sebelah mana kamu? Adakah kamu berpihak dengan iblis atau berpihak kepada Yesus Kristus? Pada waktu itu, kebanyakan orang yang datang melihat keadaan itu takut kepada Yesus dan menyuruh dia menjauhi diri dari mereka. Mereka tidak mau Yesus. Padahal Yesus ini berkuasa dan dapat menghalau roh-roh jahat, maka dia itu roh baik. Dia mungkin anak Tuhan, kalau tidak pun Nabi. Sepatutnya mereka mesti menanya dan mengetahui lebih lagi. Dan sepatutnya mereka inginkan Yesus Kristus. Jangan suruh dia lari, suruh dia tinggal bersama mereka dan datang percaya kepadanya. Beda sekali dengan orang yang sudah sembuh sekarang. Orang yang sudah sembuh ini inginkan Yesus sampai mau ikut dia. Tetapi orang ini yang waras pada halnya tetapi tidak mengenali Yesus siapa sebenarnya. Dia tidak inginkan Yesus. Kita kata orang yang sembuh itu sebelum ini dia dirasuki banyak sekali roh jahat. Berapa banyak? Legion. Tetapi kita boleh kata orang yang sudah dibebaskan, sudah percaya kepada Yesus selama ini sampai sekarang, banyak sekali. Begitu banyak sekali. Orang-orang Kristen banyak sekali. Kita boleh kata berapa ramai? Legion. Kalau kamu buat pilihan, kamu berpihak ke sebelah mana? Okay. Kita sepatutnya berpihak kepada Yesus Kristus. Cepat-cepat datang percaya kepada Yesus. Supaya kita di kalangan mereka yang percaya kepada Yesus. Berapa banyak? Legion. So we close with a hymn. Let us turn to